eliminate the word closer from his vocabulary and put in sustain. This horse is very sustained. He says this horse is a closer. No, sustained horses aren't closers necessarily. They can close. They can also run wire to wire. You can win with sustained pace, wire to wire, very easily. If you follow the races for more than a week or so, you'll see that happen. It just means the horse was good enough early. He was in weak competition, but he still had sustained. Notice Tad on that synergism. He absolutely dominates Factor W, and he has he really has a big advantage in Factor W, and he has he's pretty good in early pace. But he's still your number three sustained. And if you'll notice the results charts, he was drawn away at the end. Absolutely drawn away at the end. While Abbott was collapsing. So he did win. And if you run that line, you'll probably find that he was looking pretty sustained in that race. Certainly more so than the race we rated him off of. So we have a specific meaning for each one of these terms. And you don't just sort of bandy them about. Don't just slide, okay, sustained, I'll start calling all my closers sustained, click. Because that's an error. And I honestly don't really care if you make errors. No skin off my nose. I mean, I'm here to teach, but deep down inside, who cares? It's just one of those things. So what can I tell you? I'm not as warm and understanding as Howard. He does. He really does care if you win or lose. I really don't. Well, I care enough that I'd like to see you do well, I suppose. But it will not keep me up nights if you don't. But it will hurt you. If you don't understand what sustained pace is, if you just click it in, oh, the sustained horse is a closer. This horse isn't a closer. He can't be sustained. I won't put him in the machine. And you leave out your winner that way. Because he won last time with good sustained pace on the lead. An understanding of these numbers and what they represent is absolutely vital. And without it, you're just dead in the water. You're back to old Hossie saying. Huey Moll said in 1975, you're going to have to invent, the handicappers of the future are going to have to invent a new language. And he was very right. Almost everything he wrote in that little The Race's Pace book is just right on. That's a fabulous little book. About 70 pages in it. It's got the seeds of the whole methodology in it. Anyway, what we're doing is we're trying to measure how much of the horse's energy. Now, energy is kind of an odd concept, but I think you can all understand that a horse uses energy to run a race. And race energy is all we care about. From the time the gate opens till he hits the wire. If he drops dead one step after he hits the wire, that's okay. We still collect our bet. Now, admittedly, what happens before the gate opens can influence the race. If the horse rears up and runs around, tries to throw the jockey, gets all lathered up. But we really don't have much control over that. An awful lot of the Sarton methodology was put together in Las Vegas before they had simulcasting. And in the 70s, you went over to Las Vegas, you got the morning line, and that was it. And then they had a radio call. You got no TV pictures at all. You didn't know if the horse was lathered up. Well, we don't worry about it. Besides which, body language is a whole other thing. Now, admittedly, if you see your horse start running around out there, up and down, throw the jockey off, kill a couple people, yeah, you probably want to get off of him, at least past the race. But other than that, don't worry about it. Bob Purdy, who couldn't make this trip, paid $2,000 to spend a weekend with Bonnie Ledbetter, get personal instruction on exactly how to do body language. Came back. Everybody, he was out at the track with Howard, Tom Brohammer, a bunch of other people. They're all loving this one horse. They all just think this one horse is great. And they use him. I'm going to pay $17, $18. Bob takes one look at it and says, ah, that horse is horrible. got a tongue tie. He's got every piece of equipment on him. He's sweating, dripping off of him, all lathered up, and he's nervous, and his ears are just going like this. The horse looks horrible. He says, I won't bet that horse. Horse wins by 17 or so. I mean, big win. Pays big. And finally, just then, a client came up who's a trainer. And Bob said, I don't understand. That horse looks so horrible. How could he win that easily? And he said, well, Bob, that horse always looks like that before a race. Mind your body language. Would anyone who knew body language ever bet on that scruffy little John Henry standing in among all these magnificent animals? And there's this scruffy little $20,000 claiming horse. What is that thing doing in there? He'll never get out. Then he runs them into the ground. Greatest racehorse on pure heart that ever lived. So, mind your body language stuff. Anyway, I'm off on a tangent. I don't like body language much. Energy expenditure is measuring how the horse expends. Now, obviously, if the horse comes out of the gate real fast, he doesn't have as much left at the end. If you want to experience this, try running around this whole hotel complex. If you start off too fast, you will learn more about energy expenditure than you ever wanted to know. And lactic acid buildup and anaerobic exercise. Jim Bradshaw sat me down once and told me all that. He used to be a really good track coach. And he can actually use words like lactic acid and anaerobic exercise and know what they mean. I just sort of threw them in because they sound good. Other horses want to come out of the gate real leisurely. And they just keep right on rolling, very even pace. And at the end, they are comparatively flying. And some tracks have certain requirements. This is a one-mile track, this picture. It's Santa Anita, it's Del Mar, it's Saratoga. Saratoga's a one-mile?
Nine
furlongs? Hey, can I handicap or what? That's right, they told me that last year. Is Aqueduct nine?
No, it's a mile.
It's a mile. It's Aqueduct. Okay. Belmont, they land 747s there in the off season. So it's so huge, I can't believe it. But I couldn't believe that mile and the eighth went around one turn. Yeah. But this is Aqueduct. This is a typical racetrack. This is about 80% of the tracks in the country, right here. There's bull rings that are smaller than a mile. There's a few big plants, Arlington, Hollywood Park, that are bigger. But if you'll notice here, remember I said the race starts at the C in chute. Well, at Hollywood Park, a 6-furlong race starts about the first T in backstretch. Why? Because it's a bigger track. Chance, as I understand it, at Belmont, they practically start into the turn, which is why the sprints at Belmont are very terribly sustained. The reason being, no horse, no motorcycle, no automobile, no person, no physical object in motion can go around a turn as fast as it can go in a straight line. Its velocity around a turn is limited by its adhesion to the surface. You know, it just... If they try to go full speed around the turn, they spin out. You've seen it in Indianapolis. Bam, they hit the ball, flames. You know, you rarely see a horse do that. But you do see horses get carried wide, they call it. That's because they went into the corner with too much speed, a little bit out of control. They have to slow down for these turns, just like you do. Go out in the hall and try to make that corner right down there at full speed. I guarantee you, you will splat up against the wall. Absolutely guarantee you. I don't care if you're the greatest athlete. As a matter of fact, a great athlete in the world would hit a lot harder because he'd be going faster. You know, there is a distinct limitation there, and you can't go around a corner as fast. Therefore, look at Santa Anita or Aqueduct. They start in the C, and they just run in an absolute straight line to the half-mile pole. Therefore, that first fraction is a drag race. Matter of fact, they go about 3 furlongs at Santa Anita before they even see a turn. At Hollywood Park, they go about 1.5 furlongs. They're into the turn before they're even clocked on the first fraction. Therefore,
if you have lots of early speed, you can't use it. You've got to slow down for the corner. We've already established that.
The physical layout of a track will many times determine what kind of horse wins and what kind of horse doesn't. Some tracks have real heavy sand on them, and that's very punishing for the horse that tries to accelerate quickly and go fast. Try to run on the beach, you know what that's all about. What we look at is a track will have certain requirements, and it's a range. At Monmouth, it was about, in the sprints, it was about 70.5 to about 68.9, 69. That's where the vast majority of your winners were showing those median energies time after time after time after time. And we're going to show you how to figure this out for your own tracks. Monmouth is the only eastern track I know right now. I haven't started on Saratoga yet. But we're going to go into exhaustive detail on how to derive that number and how to use it during this seminar. But for now, that's what it is. It's measuring how that horse expends its energy, and then you look and say, well, again, go back to this race. There's a good example on almost every race. Abbott, 71.12. Well, at that time, I didn't know what it was, but I have never seen a track at like 71s. Oh, and a little over 71 is, that's kind of high. Now, I thought Tad was kind of high, too. Anything much over 70 in Southern California is kind of iffy. But since I didn't know Monmouth, I went ahead, okay, I'll take Tad. But that's the first flag. Now I had Abbott hung on and won. Now I have a new standard. If they're all winning at 71 and 72, I'm not telling you it's impossible. I'm telling you that the average track does not allow it. The horses just simply must have more energy in the third fraction. Howard will talk about, it's right here where it says F3. That's the third fraction in feet per second. And Abbott has a 48.07. If you track those over a period of time, you'll find that your track says, whoa, nobody under 49 wins at this track, period. And that'll happen. And I don't know what the number is at your track. I don't know what it is at Saratoga. It might be 48, it might be 51 feet per second. Maybe very high. Obviously, your higher class races are going to have a higher number there, because that's what it's in the third fraction that horses really start to show their class. But 49.54, the Tad laid down, is really kind of low, but he doesn't have much competition to face there, so I accepted him. Particularly because at the time I knew nothing about Monmouth. As time went by, I found that Tad was just a typical racehorse at Monmouth that won. Typical winner. And from one race, I learned a hell of a lot about that track. And was dialed into that track by about the end of 4 or 5. And don't forget, this is absolutely nothing about routes. The routes maybe won in 67 or 68. People, again, get a little upset that these numbers are so close together. A 67 or 66 is a very, very, very late horse. A 71 is a very, very, very early horse. So almost everything lives between 67 and 70. That's the range. Usually you'll find all your winners coming from about a one-point range. And that's why we went to median, because with percent early, they used to come from about a 1.5-point range. So we've shrunk it a little bit. And once you know that range, you can say, well, okay, let's look at this. Look on page 3 here. Abbott's out. Grade is out. Bam, you're down to 3 horses, just on using one factor alone. And so you're... it's a very handy number to know. It won't produce winners all by itself, but it will do good things for you. Well,
Oh, good.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, I am a genius. I'm... Excuse me.
I didn't know what it was exactly. What are you talking about? Oh, that's, you know what? I used to keep on those police. I used to bottom piece line on that horse. Michael will go nuts.
He doesn't think I ever go back more than two.
Those places.
That was Blazer. No, I did not. What did it pay $7? Mm. Oh, I thought this horse was going to be the hot favorite.
No, free colony.
Kicked all over the place. Yeah. I was, and plus, he just won second at that distance. He'd never had a shot.
As long as you've been so rudely interrupted, anyway. I had him up the number of papers for Monday, which is when we're going to the track. So there should be one for everybody that's going up there.
Okay. Good.
Thank you.
All right. That's the language. All I've tried to do is give you an overall picture and then draw and let you have the terms so you can talk about it. Are there any pressing questions at this point? Everyone think they're up to speed, and so when we come in here and say that the reason that I thought Moore Woods would win this race was because he had a good third fraction and because the horse that was touted as the favorite, Free Colony, had a lousy one. Well, you know what I'm talking about also? That horse that was a favorite had a 65% early. Percent median, I'm sorry. I still think early because that's what I learned. But just the numbers have switched, but the language has not. Had a 65% median, and that's... Oh, it's a 1.625 race, so I'm guessing a lot on that race. But it was the only one I had time to handicap, so Bert gave me the 800 number, and away I went. I love New York racing. Oh, yes.
For every $2 bet.
Yes, between you, me, and the IRS, I won $7.60 for every $2 bet. Any other questions? We're supposed to go for about another 15 minutes, and usually people have lots of questions. Was I really that clear? I thought, God, even with the numbers screwed up, you understand every concept? No questions?
This second call, beaten link on page 3.
Okay, that is a synergism, and what that is, this is only in the synergism program, and what that is Bob attempted to predict based on the numbers that you give it, how far back the horse can be. And I'll tell you something. That's another thing you ought to track. Find out how far back a horse can be. And we're going to go into that in exhaustive detail. I promise you this, because I'm the one that's going to exhaust you doing it. But that's a very handy... What it is a prediction, just like it's predicting that Tad's going to run... The Abbott's going to run early, number one. This is predicting that Abbott will be in the lead at the second call. And then it's trying to predict, based on the velocities that these horses have demonstrated, based on the pace signs that you've given it, how far back those horses are going to be. And it's kind of neat. Let's say you had tracked Monmouth, and you knew that for the last 10 days, not one winner in a 6-furlong race had ever come from further back than 2 lengths. Not one. You looked at the results chart, you wrote it down, called a track profile, you write down how far back were they. You also knew that they had to come between 70.5 and 69 percent median. You use those two tools. You can throw out Abbott, you can throw out Great, and you can throw out Majestic, leaving you with Tad and Moon. End of discussion. You've got your two horses. One of them's the winner. I don't know where Moon ran. He's probably still out there. Yeah, he ran up the track. But that's very typical. Your second best win horse rarely